Every day, it seems like another device is getting smarter. From smart watches to Wi-Fi enabled LED bulbs, everything around us is becoming more connected and efficient. And just like our world is getting smarter, your e-commerce business should be too. If you're looking for incredible efficiency, or if your business has outgrown its old shipping solutions, ShipStation is the tool that can help you take that next step. ShipStation offers exceptional shipping efficiency with a powerful all-in-one order fulfillment system. It integrates with over 180 of the most popular e-commerce platforms, marketplaces, and carriers, making it easier than ever to manage your shipping tasks. I personally use ShipStation, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. The ability to automate shipping tasks and manage orders from one simple dashboard has saved me countless hours. I love that I can print shipping labels with just one click and take advantage of industry-leading discounts. Up to 89% off with carriers like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's made scaling my business faster and more efficient than I ever thought possible. Plus, saving thousands on shipping costs is just the icing on the cake. If you want to lead your business into the future with technology designed to save you money and headaches, ShipStation is the way to go. It seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, and it's the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers. Over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of those that use it for a year become customers for life. So switch to ShipStation today and lead your e-commerce business into a smarter future. Go to ShipStation.com and use code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BOOK. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. And look at this motley crew of co-hosts that I've gathered here. The incredible Rob Gill, David Williams, and Chad Sandrigan. Thank you, fellas, for being here. This is going to be an incredible episode because I have so many of my mentors here. So this is the mentorship episode of Office Hours. Up here is a dear mentor. In my transformation, I believe everyone goes through a quantum shift. Men do it later on. But my wife kept pushing me to watch this movie, and I was completely resistant. The movie was called The Secret, and I told her it was a bunch of oogla-moogla woo-woo BS, and there was no way I'd waste my time watching the movie. And then I was ready to watch the movie, and there was one particular person, John Assaraf, who stood out to me because out of all the woo-woo BS that I saw in that movie, which now I believe in, he was a pragmatic businessman. He had built a multi-million dollar real estate business. He had a pragmatic way of understanding. It was almost like Napoleon Hill met Carnegie, met Deepak Chopra, in my opinion. And I said, whoa, this guy is like an actual business person. He's not sitting on his couch dreaming about his dream home. He actually puts his dream home out there and then he does what it takes to go get it. And so I want to thank you, John, for being a catalyst in my life. And I was hoping that you could tell me when you went through your quantum shift, because I have a feeling that you also may have been at one time or another resistant to what you believe today.
Thanks, David. And I think most of my teen years, I was resistant to anybody that told me what to do. So probably normal, right? But I ended up meeting a couple of mentors. One was Bob Proctor, who was my first mentor that talked to me about, you know, this thing called energy, and that we're all made up of energy, which was an elusive idea to me before. It was, you know, metaphysical at best. But then I also met a very pragmatic entrepreneur, Alan Brown, who had built a successful real estate company and development company that also believed in energy and vibration and frequency. And both of them initially were also students of Napoleon Hill. And, you know, in the book, Napoleon Hill says, you become what you think about most. And he says, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. And I took that to heart because all the people that Napoleon Hill studied were very, very successful entrepreneurs of that era. And they all had this belief in a higher power and energy. And they also had this belief in doing the right things in the right order at the right time. And so I had these two mentors. Bob Proctor was probably the most well-versed person at the time, back in the early 80s, 70s, to talk about this thing called the law of attraction. But I also discovered that in addition to being in resonance, being in this vibration frequency, which Tesla also talked about, Nikola Tesla, there was also this other law that most people didn't talk about. We didn't talk about it in the movie. And it's the corollary law called the law of Goya, G-O-Y-A. And the law of Goya is the get off your ass law. Do what you need to do while you're, you know, in this Zen-like focus and meditation and mindfulness and think and feel and believe. So you've got to do the right things at the same time as you tune in to the frequency, the vibration of the health, wealth, relationships, career, business, money that you want.
Amazing.
Wow, Rob. Unbelievable. So when I think of Goya, I think of, you know, obviously get off your ass, right? So if we're sitting there meditating, but now all of a sudden the real principle is action, right? You just hearing what you just said about, you know, your mentors of the 70s, did you know at the time that you were surrounding yourself with stuff that was just extraordinary? Like, did that even hit you?
I had no idea. I was just in my cocoon, in my environment, in my limited myopic thinking. I failed English, failed math, left high school in grade 11, was voted most likely to fail in life. So my self-belief was very, very low. I didn't have this idea, this belief that I could achieve any of the things that they achieved until I was made aware.
The forces brought you together, though, with them, right? Is that was there anything that led to those initial meetings of these guys?
My brother was just concerned for my well-being because I was getting into so much trouble with the law and I was kicked out of school. And so he was like, bro, you got to get your life in order because you're either going to die or go to jail.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that won't happen to me, even though I had one friend that went to jail and one friend died.
Mm.
So I was very, very limited in my thinking and in my awareness. And then what happened was I started to learn not just the law of action, because one of the things that one of my mentors says is you could be busy, 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 busy all day long taking action, doing the wrong things. Mm. And he was the first person that says, okay, if you want to achieve success, there is a predictable pathway or model or blueprint. And I said, like, bring it on. And the thing that he taught me is, yes, start with your vision. Got it. Next, you have some goals on your way to the vision. Got it. He said, then you've got to start creating the plans. What are you going to do Monday from 8 to 9:30? What are you going to do from, you know, 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock? What are you going to do, you know, during lunch? When are you going to study? When are you going to upgrade your knowledge and your skills? So you upgrade, okay, each and every day, a little bit of your mindset and your skill set. And he gave me this one lesson that has stuck with me, and I do it still every day, 43 years later. 1 hour a day of working on me. That's 365 hours a year of working on myself. And that's 9 40-hour weeks over the course of a year. Multiply that by 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I'm no extraordinary person, but because I had this one extraordinary behavior, a little bit extra every day, you know, a blind squirrel can find acorns every once in a while. So I'm no smarter than anybody else, but I'm very highly disciplined to some principles that have withstood the test of time.
Bravo. Thank you.
Love that. Love that. Well, John, thank you so much for being here. It's an absolute honor and a privilege. And I know we got to talk last night and we were talking about how we got our kids project, the Fifth Degree Academy, where we're going out there and educating youth. So the question I have for you as a father yourself, how do you instill the principles and mindset of personal growth into your children? And what advice would you give parents that are trying to cultivate that growth mindset, that mindset of abundance, so their kids can have everything they want in this world and more?
Sure. So I think it starts off with communication. I think every parent wants their kid to do really well, right? Anybody who cares about their kids and has a relationship with their kids where they're invested in their child's well-being. The first thing that I always tried to instill in my children was help them become aware of what is it that created them, right? The genius that created every single one of us is this, I don't know, you want to call it God, you want to call it Allah, Buddha, whatever you want to call it. There's an intelligence of creator. So let's start with this spiritual understanding that you are a miracle. You have a brain that is the most powerful biocomputer in the entire universe. And how you talk to yourself is critical. And here's what happens when you talk negatively to yourself. Here's what happens when you talk positively to yourself. Here's what's actually happening. Then the other part was, it's perfect to have emotions, but you don't want your emotions to run you. You want to be able to manage the emotions, but in order to manage them, you first need to be aware. What are the six core emotions? What do you do when you're angry? Is angry, being angry okay? Well, of course it is, but you don't want to stay angry for a long period of time, which then leads to one of the third things that you want to teach them is how do you reframe things? So let's say something negative or bad or not to your taste happens to you. How do you reframe it in a way that it will serve you now and in the future? So that's learning how to do what I call the 4R process. Recognize, reframe, release the emotion that may be disempowering or negative, and then retrain your brain to give it a meaning that'll always serve you. So these are some fundamental skills. And then the last one is teaching them to always do, you know, what they love, but also to understand that there are some things you're not going to love that you have to do if you want to get to that next level. And so round them off with some of those concepts and ideas of what does it take to be a wonderful member of society, to feel wonderful about yourself, to love your life, and then to have your life have purpose and meaning. And depending on how old they are, determines, you know, how much you can really teach them. And the last thing with children especially is the thinking part of the adult male or female brain develops at a different state or a timeline than another. Women, for example, their prefrontal cortex develops in their early 20s. Guys are sometimes between 25 and 30. So some of that critical thinking part doesn't come online until later on in their years. So you cannot expect them to do certain things that are natural and easy for you or other adults that, you know, maybe we hang around with.
No, I love that. It was a great answer. And I love the reframing part too, because I think even David talks about it sometimes, taking out the trash, right? It's one of those dreaded things. But when you look at it through the frame, well, this is going to make my wife happy. Now, looking at it through that lens, through that different frame, it's got a different sort of energy to it. And then I also used to think in my life, like as challenges came up, one thing after the next, I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? But then at one moment where my life really took off, there was that shift that, no, I wasn't doing it to me. It was doing it for me. Like on the other side of every one of those challenges was the next best version of life.
Yeah, there's a great poem and it says something like, you know, I asked God for patience, so he gave me twins. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked God for blank and he gave me this. And I'm not religious. I'm traditional, but I'm very spiritual. I believe that, you know, everything in life, first we get the test, then we get the lesson, you know? And so are we ready for the tests? Because it's going to keep coming. And either we learn the lessons or we repeat the test.
Absolutely. Love it. Thank you.
Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time.
Hey, John, I have a question, and you know, I got to speak with you last night on a panel, and unfortunately, I got to speak with you on a panel. And the reason I say unfortunately is because I couldn't write down what you were saying because I was on the panel with you. I wish I was in the audience with a pen and a pad of papers because I would have taken so many notes. So I'm going to use my question and my time with you to ask you to restate what you stated yesterday, because I want clarity. and you talked about the four obstacles, that these four obstacles that stop people from getting what they want or have achieving the success they want. Can you go deeper into that? Sure. And again, I want everybody that's watching the show to hear it, but I really would just want to write it down. So I'm going to listen, but I'm going to take notes too.
Sure. So first and foremost, I'm a student, right? So I love to learn. I love to understand me better. And in understanding me better, then maybe I can have some ideas to share with people. And I'm a behavioral neuroscience researcher by passion, an entrepreneur by passion too. But when I've asked myself, why do I do the things that I do? But why don't I do the things that I say I want to do, or do the things I need to do to achieve, whether it's the health, wealth, relationships, career, business goals that I have? And fundamentally, it'll come back to one of four things. And it's all based in neuroscience and neuropsychology. So number one is, if the thing that I want to achieve, whether it's health or business money, it doesn't matter. If I don't, in my subconscious mind, believe that I either am worthy of it, deserve it, I won't take action. I will not take action towards that thing, because there's one foot on the gas saying, I want to achieve this, but another foot on the brakes says, but you don't deserve it, you're not worthy of it. So self-image, self-worth, self-esteem, which formulate part of our identity, needs to shift. Number two. And by the way, nobody was born with a self-image or self-worth or self-esteem. We weren't born with one. Number two is limiting beliefs. And so I have, you have, every human alive has limiting beliefs. So simple term, it's beliefs that are limiting you. Now the question is, how do they limit you? And the answer is, they are the lens by which you see the world. It's the lens by which you see yourself. But it also is the lens by which you delete or distort information, and you only see the stuff in the physical world that's in alignment with your beliefs. So the question is, if I wasn't born with beliefs, can I create and reinforce a new belief pattern? Of course we can. That's the science of neuroplasticity. Number three is a huge topic, and it's called fear, right? Now, people think fear is fear. Well, fear is a circuit in the brain. And the fear gets activated not based on what's happening externally to us. It usually happens based on what the meaning we have around the thing that's happening around us, or the thing we're thinking about. So if I said, oh, be careful, there's a snake that's in the room right now, some people would get their camera out and take a selfie with it. Other people would be running out the door. So it's not the snake. Now, here's the problem. There's a fear of failure, a fear of success, a fear of being embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged, rejected, unloved, and I can go on. But whenever the fear circuit is activated, it's based on a highly sensitive part of our brain that is there to protect us, to keep us safe, secure, and away from pain or discomfort. It's a biological 150,000-year-old system that's been developing and evolving in humans as an early warning detection mechanism. No differently than you're driving your car and all of a sudden a light pops up on your dash. You don't take a hammer and hit the light. You wonder, why is that light on? Oh, I'm low on air in the tire. Well, when the fear circuit is activated, it deactivates the motivational circuit. It deactivates the thinking part of the brain. So now we have limiting beliefs, self-image, and fear. And then we have a big one, and that is, let's say I have a vision or a goal. It doesn't matter. Health, wealth, relationship, career, business, it doesn't matter. But I don't have the knowledge or the skill of how to achieve it. So I'm just, you know, in a state of ignorance, not knowing. Well, when our brain understands that we don't know how to achieve something, it activates the doubt, worry, stress circuit in the brain. Well, guess what happens when we have doubt or uncertainty or stress? It releases cortisol. And then what do we do when that happens? Well, we want to move away from it. And so when we don't have the knowledge and skills, it sets up doubt and uncertainty. Uncertainty means we're going to be trepidatious in whether we take action or not. And most people, humans, are biologically wired to stay in their comfort zone. And what most people don't know is there's something called the law of secondary gain in the brain. And the law of secondary gain goes like this. When I retreat from taking the action that maybe I should take, I'm actually getting rewarded for staying comfortable. So now I know I should do something, I want to do something, I don't know how to do it, so I feel safe staying comfortable. And that sets up me self-sabotaging over and over and over again, or procrastinating, not because I don't want to achieve it. It's because I'm safe in staying where I'm at, achieving what I'm achieving, because that's my comfort zone. So those are the four things.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Amazing. If you want to shorten the distance of resistance in your life, you have to surround yourself with the right people, the right ideas. And that's why I surround myself with John Assaroff. He also has a number one app to help with that mindset, heart set, and hand set to get you where to you want to be or better. You are so kind, generous with your time and your wisdom and your faith. I appreciate you so much. Everyone, thank you for joining us on Office Hours.